Joel chapter 3, verse 14 says, thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decisions. There the day of the Lord will soon arrive. We're taking that phrase, waiting in the valley of decisions. There's people that are waiting to make decisions in life, and others just go ahead. They've already made decisions. So decisions determine our direction. And when we make a decision, we've already, I guess, maybe determined some things. So direction determines your destiny. You know, your future is in your hands. It matters what decisions you make today, because those decisions will affect you for years. And not only will it affect you, but it'll affect the people that you love mostly, because those people will directly get blessed from your decision, or they'll struggle with your decision. So make sure when you're making decisions, you're making the right, you're using all your wits to make those decisions. It's important you make the right decisions, as I mentioned, because your happiness depends on it. How happy you are depends on what kind of decisions you've made in life. You know, I've taught for 18 years at the college, and we find students that they're not happy. They've gone to work. Sometimes they take courses. They went to university. They're still not happy. They're still not happy with the course they took. And they took it because maybe pressure from family, maybe their parents pressured them into certain kind of discipline or profession, and so because their family's in a certain business, they wouldn't pick that kind of career. But some people have no input from people. They don't have any kind of input. So Anita and I work with a lot of kids who were making decisions, and of course adults as well. Maybe they've picked a place where they weren't really supposed to be, and for some reason they're really not happy. You know, how happy you are is really based on decisions you've made. And if you're not happy, there's got to be some wrong decision, maybe a wrong road. You took a wrong turn along the way. And somebody always said this, mentioned that if you are lost, go back to the last decision you made and start from there. Go back to something that you were doing before that made you happy. I'm not sure if that's always the correct thing, but go back to, you know, when you ever lose something, you kind of backtrack your way, and if you lost your keys, you say, where was I last, you know? And I think you need to do those kind of exercises, and not everybody is as smart as you are, that you just make all the right decisions and you're always happy and you got money in your pocket, all kinds of best friends and everything on your lap. Some of us have to go through some really, really tough situations. So it's important you make those decisions, the right ones, and your happiness depends on it. Of course, people around you want you to make the right decisions. People that affect you directly, I don't know, our families, our children, they're, you know, hoping that you make the right decision. Because sometimes, you know, I've seen people over the years as a pastor, you know, parents decide, I'm going to move away from the city. And people have been unhappy and they move away. Everybody was doing good in church and they were doing well. And all of a sudden they come back, they're never the same again. Kids were not the same. They kind of lost direction. And so it's hard to, when you make those kind of decisions, because it affects everybody. And we don't want you, or all of us, any one of us. I don't know why my iPad is not producing here. So anyway, okay, so look back on your past and see how many important decisions that you've made, and did you make the right one? And ask yourself those questions. If you made the wrong one, you know, how happy would you be if you actually made the right one? Sometimes you look at those decisions. It's easier to look back at some things and make those. But if you're making decisions right now that are really good, that are impactful, you're going to hoping that you're making, you've made the right decision. So, all right, I'm going to go to scripture, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says that, you know, maybe you've made a wrong decision along the way, and you're not happy with it. You've struggled with it, struggled for years. And I look back at my years, my number of years in my life. I've talked to different people, close family. And I've had the occasion to ask a close family member to reconsider a decision, a real decision they were making. And, you know, how many people know that your experience can benefit somebody else? If you made a wrong turn and you see somebody else making a wrong turn, you try to help them along the way and say, hey, listen, reconsider your decision because, you know, I just sense, you know, there's something that you're missing here. And I've done that, and I've gone to someone that's been close to me and said, would you reconsider that decision because I think you're making the wrong decision. And, of course, you know, they don't listen to you, and they're going to make that decision anyway because they've already predetermined they're going to make that decision what they were doing. So it says here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, New Living Translation, it said, I'm certain that God who began a good work in you. I mean, you know, at the time, you know, when you were born again, God started something in you. If you look around the room and even look at yourself, you're not the completed project that God has started with. There's something going on inside you even right now. We're all going through a process of change. And you can say thank God for that because God's not finished with you yet. Somebody had a t-shirt one time, it says under construction. You know, you get those t-shirts, it's under construction, God's still working at you. And even though we've made a wrong turn, there's still hope in the future for us. Because you can always turn back and do something. Sometimes they're a little bit more or less reversible, some decisions. You know, like I said, you know, people sometimes make a decision without your wife. Don't ever make a decision without your wife. Right, you know, you'll regret it. My wife's not looking at me because she knows that I've told her many times. No, I'm just kidding. So we have to make a decision that is going to affect all of us. God promises to lead us. So he says, God is. I'm certain that God who has begun a good work in you, within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So we have choices. The choice is with God. Either we're going to choose the way that God wants us to live, because there is a decision that we make for God. We make a choice to live for God. And I was going to read, you know, the 24th chapter, 15th verse of the book of Joshua, and which I'll read later on. It says that Joshua told those people, he's, of course, a leader. He said, choose today. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the God of your ancestors? Some of you are still hanging around those ancestral gods. You haven't really put away those idols. You're going to serve the God of your ancestors, or you're going to serve the Amorites, the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You know, so because how many people know? People around you affect your decision. Who you hang around with affects your decision. Those Amorites, they're there, they're in the land, and you know the devil. You know, God wants you to go forward. There's always the enemy. They're willing to try to pull you back to the old way, try to draw you back to the past. People always saying, oh, I wish I was living in the past. You know, I wish we, you know, I've certainly seen some of my people say this, you know, oh, you know, we got to go back to the past. And very nostalgic. And how many of you want to go back to the past? You don't want to go back to the past, right? And so how about you? No? No, you don't want to go back to the past? And so we don't want to go back because it's not, you know, going back is not pleasing the Lord. And so, but he says, you're gonna pick the decisions. You know, like sometimes, you know, maybe you came out of a family that's not a Christian background. They don't know Jesus. And if I would have stayed in that, I would have been stuck following that. There's a decision I had to make. And decision of the world, or you're going to follow your own path. Some people say, well, I'm on my own man. I can just pick whatever I want to pick. So pick God's way, your way, or the world's way. The way to the world is a very wide. If you make a decision for the world, you can do whatever you want to do as far as your selfish desires are concerned, and do whatever you want to do, which in fact affects everyone. Remember that your decision today might not affect you immediately, but down the road, there's going to be some dealings that have to be considered or have to be done. So there's a narrow gate, a wide gate. Of course, the narrow gate, Jesus talked about that. It's something that you, there's some things, you know, you follow God that you can't do. And you have to follow what God wants you to do. It's not always easy. It's not a choice that you are going to say, well, it's so easy. I'll just pick the narrow gate, you know, whatever that is. So are you going to finish what you sense, you know, in your heart that God wants you to do? And it might not always seem easy when you're making a decision like that. What God starts, He wants to finish in your heart. He works on the inside out, and you might not seem like anything's happening. There's times in your life that you might think that there's nothing happening in my life. You know, it doesn't seem as I'm moving anywhere. Even if you look at, you know, I keep looking at my bank book. You ever notice you look at your bank book? And if you want to get discouraged, look at that number. Look at how much you owe, you know, how much has been coming in, how much you've been saving, and how much you've been earning on the side. If you got some, you know, some, if your investments, you know, look at that. Or look at how much you owe and how much somebody owes you. But God, you know, He's working on you. And sometimes what's discouraging is that when you look at somebody else and somebody that you love that's not, doesn't seem to be progressing, it's very difficult to see people in your life that you know that could do better with your life. And you don't have to raise your hand, but you know, if you can consider now somebody in your life that you would see that has a great future, but they're not following through on it. There's people in your life like that you could see, you know, could be far away. Maybe someone's looking at you that way too. I think, you know, maybe your family or someone close to you. So you could do better than this. Come on, Roman, let's do something. So it's not always visible. So consider this. You know, have faith that God's working in you. Just like the Bible said, God is working in you. When He began a good work in you, He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You have to have faith in that, and that God's working in me, and be faithful to that. Be stick to that promise that God, what you see in me is not always the same. Wouldn't it be awful to think that you're going to be the same the next 25 years? You'd be the same person that you were 25 years ago. Have the same problems, same sneaky attitude. You know, and feel really, really bad about life, and look at over here, Philippians 2:13. See, it says here, for God is working in you. He says that again. That's two times he says that there. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Well, God never stops working in us. He even gives us or provides us or furnishes us the ability to do the things that you don't want to do. Because there's things that there's in life that you might not want to do. But you need to pray, just like Jesus prayed, Lord, you know, what's your will? May it be done. That's one prayer that we continue to pray, the prayer of consecration and dedication, submission to God, and to do whatever God wants to do in our lives. So it might not always seem exciting, but it's the best thing to do. Everything else looks good out there until you get into trouble and get attracted. It's like the, you know, those, you ever go, I noticed lately, I just turned my light on, you know, on my back porch. I don't have a porch, but my back door. And then all the flies gather there, right? And you can't sit outside, and those flies start attacking you because, you know, and so I have two places where I could come and sit, and there's lights there. So one, I trick the flies. I put the light on over on the other side, but it still can have light. So when I get in with the dogs, they don't attack me and bring them all in. And so you're like that. Some of you are just attracted. The light's calling me. The light's calling me. You're attracted to whatever is nice and shiny out there. Everything's superficial in life until you get involved in it and see it's not as good as you think it is out there. The world is, you know, it'll try to pull you, you know, and devil will try to even dissuade you to follow the things of God, but it draws you over there where you're not supposed to be. The Bible says that God has already planned something for you. Let's go over here to a scripture, and we'll go back to that verse in a minute. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 10, I believe it is over there. If you go, pick up the Amplified Classical Edition, if you would do that for me. And I want you to see this, because I just sense the Lord talking to me about this, that somebody is about to make a decision tonight that's going to affect them for a long, long time, and you have to reconsider some things. Look it over here, Ephesians 2. For we are God's own handiwork. Here it is again. So God's at work in you. He started something in you. He started from the inside. It doesn't look different. When I got born again, you know, I was talking about this. Somebody, I had a senator call me from Ottawa and said to me, Roma, have you ever considered becoming a politician? I said, I'm already a politician. And not only just one time, I had a number of calls. And it's kind of funny how people can be attracted to you in some way or want to encourage you. So I don't know. Maybe I've gone the wrong way. Maybe I should have been a politician full time. No. Anyway, so we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ. In other words, we're born again in Jesus, born in you, that we may do those good works which God prepared, predestined or planned beforehand. In other words, I want you to know right now, every one of you, that God has planned something for you. He's definitely got something planned for you. If you look at the scriptures, the Bible says long, long time ago, and the psalmist says that before you were in your mummy's tummy, he said, I knew you. I call you, and I have written your name in the book. Everybody in the world's name is in the book. If you reject Jesus, it's taken off. Right. I've seen that other scripture in Hebrews the other day. In the book of Hebrews, it says that your name is written there. Jesus already written your name, and He's already planned good things for you. And so the bad things that happened in your life, God never designed them. You know, and I believed, you know, people told me when I was a kid that everything happened to me, it was God's plan. I suffered, you know, the loss and the poverty and all the addictions and tragedies that I had in my life, and they said that God did it. But I was mad at God for a long time. Has anybody ever had that problem? You're mad at God, and you redirected your anger in the wrong direction because of your crazy thinking. Some religious thinking told you that's what it was, that God had this, he did all this thing. So I was running from God for a long time, running wrong decision. Someone told me something religiously, and I didn't actually believe. So people today, there's a lot of people, I don't know if you notice this, they're mad at God because of all the stuff that's gone on. They're mad at religion. They're mad at the church even. Because the church is, you know, represents things of God, and they don't want to follow God. And so the devil has used this device, some things, and used some things to turn people away from God. And same with me. I was mad at God and ran away from God. I thought actually God was really in the Catholic Church, and that he was there. And that's where everybody else is going to hell except us Catholics. That's what I thought. I don't know where I got that from, but that's the way it was. I mean, I don't care whatever your decision was or idea of it, but that was mine. I don't know if they taught me that or I had it in my mind. So when we went to, even when we went to, I did a funeral yesterday of a young man who died. This is a really young man, 18 years old. He took his own life. And he had no hope. He just lost all hope, and you know, just 18 years old. And the same 2 days before that, my cousin's young son took his own life, and his mom took his mom died about 3 weeks before this from now, 3 weeks back. And I was at that funeral. I think it was about 3 weeks ago. And 2 days ago, this other guy took his own life. And then this other one I'm doing, yesterday's funeral, was the same thing. And what do you do? How do you talk to people and tell people, give them hope? I don't know. Most of them didn't know Jesus. And how do you instill hope in them? How do you give people hope? Well, we're there to remember somebody, but also instill hope in people that there is hope for your future. And there's a lot of tragedy. How many people see tragedy all over the place? And you try to bring a little bit of sunshine wherever you go. And some people don't like sunshine. They like to stay in the dark. And so God has planned beforehand. Everybody say, God has a plan. You're not going to be in that situation forever. If you're in a bad situation, it's not going to be that way forever, because the devil wants to tell you, this is your life. This is how it's going to be forever. No, it's not. The devil is alive. You listen to that and you start feeling that way. It's never going to be like that forever. As sure as I'm standing here, your life is going to be different. Now, taking paths. Look at this. Taking paths. How many people know there's paths? Proverbs 4:18 says there's a bright path and there's a dark path. And that's something, a decision you have to make. The good life. So taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Living the good life which he prearranged, made ready for us to live. There's the good life. If life's not good, then there's something wrong. Something definitely not wrong. Are you in the wrong path? Did you make a wrong decision? And like I said, over a family member of mine, and I talked to that person, I said, listen, you know, I just sense in my heart that God said, don't do this. And I've been thinking that for a few days now, and I thought about it, and I said, what happened, that whole scenario came back to me a number of times, and I said, you know what, I just want to let you know that before you're making this decision, that I just sense that God doesn't want you to make this decision. And I said, no, I'm going to make this decision again, and went ahead and made that decision. And I see in there that the full blessing of God was never there. You can live a pretty good life, you know, without God. You can be relatively happy and enjoy lots of good things. But it's not quite the same without God. You know, you can be much more happier when God's involved in it. And so sometimes in life we fall away and make a wrong decision. Like put up there Proverbs 4:18 in any version you want. Proverbs 4:18. You know, how many people know that life should get better? When you come to God, life has to get better, and it should get better. That's the expectation that's there. It should get better. When I went to Alcoholics Anonymous a number of years ago, I came out of detox. I came out of the treatment center. I was sick. I was sick for about 5 years. Every day, I was just ready to quit. Trying to stay clean. As they say, clean. And I was unhappy for about 4.5 years until I came to Jesus. I was somewhat happy, but on the inside of me, I knew I was not really happy that yet. And I couldn't get rid of fear. Yes, I was sober for 4.5 years. Yes, I had an apartment. Yes, I finished all my schooling. I was 24 years old. I'm finished my schooling. I'm going to start my own life. I have, you know, a little bit of money, a paycheck coming in. I have a nice vehicle. I got a nice car. I got a girlfriend. Got all my friends. I got my hockey games. You know, I got all these wonderful things. I got my cigarettes. I'm just, well, what you need? Coffee, smokes, and cigarettes. I mean, what else do you want? I mean, that's my life. So, you know, they said it's going to get better. Even people who were not even Christians told me life should get better. When I came to Jesus, I knew life was going to get better. It didn't say it's going to be roses every day, but it should get better. Yeah. But how many people know Proverbs 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, sometimes self-afflicted. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from 25% of them. Okay, all of them. Okay, so the way of the righteous, that's you and me, we're righteous in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, you and I are the righteousness of God. Isaiah 54:17 says that we're righteous. God has made us righteous. And so we're the righteous of God. We're the righteous of God. Like the first gleam of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. You know, it should get brighter. Our days should get brighter and brighter and brighter as we go along. But that's not always the case with some people, because sometimes either you or someone in your life makes a decision that affects you. Someone's life affects you right now. There's somebody in your life that made a wrong decision, is affecting you right now, financially, emotionally, spiritually. It's affecting you every day. And you have to live with those decisions the best way you know how. And there's people I was noticing in the scriptures, you see that over and over. You know, if you read the Bible so many times, you begin to see patterns and begin to see, you know, different things. You begin to understand. As I visit the Israelites long enough in my years of ministry and life to understand about something about the Israelites. Because they're a type and shadow of a Christian or the church. Whatever happened to them is parallel to us that happens in our own lives. And that's why the Bible talks about it, you know, in Romans and 1 Corinthians, that they are just like us. Whatever happens to them is like, could happen to us. And if you see them over and over and over, they follow God, they fall back again. They go in and out, in and out, in and out, over and over, back again. They cry to God, almost dying. They say, God save me, they save them again. And once they're saved, God always tells them, remember me when you're having a great time. Don't forget, I'm God. And they forget again. And just because one generation remembers God, they said, you know, that the generation didn't remember Joseph anymore and those guys. And another generation comes on, they don't remember them. You know, one day they won't remember you. I remember, Keith Moore said, what's going to happen when you die? Well, they're going to go for coffee after they bury you. You know, they're going to say, let's go for coffee. What happened? Well, yeah, he was a good guy. Ken was good, yeah. He was a nice guy. And one who's going to have his shoes. You know, he says, this is kind of cruel, but Keith Moore used to tell us, you know, somebody's going to be driving your car and wearing your shoes. Who's going to be... It's our morbid thoughts, eh? But that's true anyway. You can't take it with you. So you might as well share it. That's why I give Pastor Ken some of my pants and said, "Pant, come and have some of these pants." I can't wear every pair of pants. Amen? So if you got something you want to give me, I'll take it. You can't drive two cars, so let me one of yours. So if we go to, let's go over here. I'll have a couple more scriptures to show you. It's eight more minutes before countdown here. Let's go here to, we were going to talk about this scripture verse over here in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Now Joshua, at the end of his life, you know, he took these guys over. He's leading these people. And how many people know that these guys will always want to go back? And there are decisions that we should go back again. And there's people always want to turn back to the old way of life. Your flesh always wants to revert back. And whenever you have a hard time, your flesh always wants to go back to the old way. Do things over you used to do before. And so that's why you have to renew your mind about things. Joshua 24, I believe it is verse 15. There it is. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose you today whom you will serve. You know, there's a song by Bob Dylan. I don't know if he wrote it. You might not. You might know. I think maybe Ed likes this song. Yeah, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, might be the Lord. You got to serve somebody. Okay, so you got to serve somebody. Choose you today whom you will serve. You know, so if you prefer the gods of your ancestors, you serve beyond the Euphrates or be the gods of Amorites who in the land of Israel. So they just came over to the land. You know, there's always something trying to pull you back, right? And he said this, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. He's saying there that his decision is going to affect his whole family directly. My house, we're going to serve the Lord. You in my house now. Come on. I remember when a long time ago, my brother, you know, he was kind of mean. Well, I would say he actually was mean. He'd hit you in the head with a stone. But he got mean. He didn't get mean overnight. He gradually became mean. He's a real res kid. But anyway, some of you will understand that. Anyway, people would come to my house, and they'd even drive around. They'd come visit, you know. Is your brother home? So ask us first, is he home? I said, well, he might be around. You know, you don't know what he's going to do next. You know, trust him. So, but we are a people, because these guys always want to go back to backslide. And, you know, go back to the things of the world. These always want to go back. So this one man affected a whole nation, not only just one, his family, but a whole nation. And they followed in a direction. So, you know, each one of us here we have our own sort of little nations that follow us. You know, you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's watching you? How many people are watching you? They see you, getting on. I was watching, you know, I'm always observant of my neighborhood. How about you? Mrs. Kravis, remember that? She's always watching what's happening next door, right? You remember Miss Kravis? So we always notice the guy right across directly towards us. He's always constantly moving vehicles back and forth. Same vehicles. His truck, his car, his old vehicle, back and forth, back and forth. And so we always notice him moving. But people are watching you. Oh, there he is again, moving that old vehicle back and forth. Why does he get that open again? Why did he open that trunk? Why did he leave that open? Leave that old guy alone. He's not bothering you. And so my wife and I, yesterday we went to Superstore. Anybody been to Superstore? How many fans of Superstore we have here? Two people, three. Okay. Well, we went there yesterday. We had to go pick up something. Sometimes we just go out. Lately, we go out just for something to do. Just to say, hey, let's go pick up butter. Just to get out of the house. Anybody like that? Yeah, the whole family is going, come on, we're all going to get some butter. Truckload of people driving down the road. Where are you guys going? We're going to the butter. You want to come with us? And so we're going, we're so happy. We finally got to Supers. We're so happy. Woo-hoo! And run around in the store. Anyway, we got into there. We came in, and I walked through the doors, and finally I recognized, woo! Woo! I realized I didn't have my mask on. So, honey, you don't have your mask on. You better get out. So I ran out and went to get my mask, and I'm trying to find my mask, and I come running back. And I put my mask on, and I'm ready to go back to the, you know, shop. We gotta get butter. So there's a guy coming out of the superstore. And he starts waving at me. And I said, well, who is this guy? Because the sun was shining and couldn't recognize him. He says to me, Roma. He says to me, Roma, Roma, okay. Roma, Roma, is that you? Yeah, Roma. Roma Fisher, right? I said, yeah. I said, who are you? Because sometimes, sometimes you don't recognize someone. George, is that you? Oh, you look wonderful. You don't recognize him. Anyway, it wasn't George. So this guy, he says to me, I watch you every Sunday. I go to this Catholic church, and I watch your show, and then I go to my church. So I'm telling you, somebody's watching you, right? You know, so they're watching you, and that's what Anita said to me, you know, When you're out there, be nice to people. If you tip, tip good. You know, yeah. You're supposed to do this, right? But anyway, so we got in there, and we're just playing around, and just going around looking for food, and then I told my wife, hey, look at this lady in front of you. She looks like your cousin. You know? So we followed her. And, oh, hi, how are you? Isn't that good? And she said, oh, I know you, she says to me. I watch you every Sunday. Seemed like I was a big fan over there at Superstar. I said, maybe I should come here all the time. That's where all my fans are. And my wife says to me, did you notice how old these people were? They're the older crowd, you know. Young kids, they don't watch TV, I heard, right? You guys don't watch TV, do you? You don't watch TV. You watch, what do? Just Ustream? Ustream. Go streaming all your programs, right? Yeah, so most of them don't, but some of them still do. But anyway, that's just an extra story that we tacked on there to kill time. So as I was... One more scripture. We're going to close with that. So we get one more scripture. I think we can get one in here somewhere. So our decisions, you know, can affect so many people around us. Our choices that we made. We saw Joshua here, and so on. Let's go here to. Let's go to. Here's something that I was thinking about earlier. There's a scripture, Jeremiah 21:17. I think most people recognize the scripture, Jeremiah 17:20. Let's get that up there. Let's find where Joshua is talking to these people. So sometimes we make decisions, and it's not always, you know, life doesn't always get good when we don't make the right decisions. We make a decision that kind of pulls us back, slows us down. You know, the devil, the Bible says the devil, he wants to either stop you or slow you down. He might slow you down for a while. If you're determined, you might make a wrong turn, but you can go ahead and keep moving ahead. Amen. But he wants to stop you for sure, get you completely off track, and you know, you make a decision that's, you don't want to turn back from it because you're, somebody said, I'd rather be wrong Then admit I'm right or I'm wrong. I'd rather be right. Anyway, I'm not sure how it goes. Did you, Jeremiah 31:17? I realized I gave you. Here's a scripture that a lot of you know. There's hope in your future. How's that? How's that a good scripture to end with tonight? Right. See, there's hope in your future. Now listen to me. In context, this scripture is talking about a people who's gone into captivity, a people who's backslidden, a nation who's backslidden. One king affected so many people's lives. Did our government affect us? Sure, it affects us every day. You know, but we need to pray for our government. And pray that they make a right decision. We pray at our staff meetings for our government. And we pray for Doug Ford. We pray for Justin Trudeau. We pray for, what's his name, Bill Morrill? Yeah, Bill Morrill. Right. And so we pray for him, that his decision he makes, can affect everybody. So this here, he said, there's hope in your future, says the Lord. And how many of you know that your decision affects your children? And what happens to them? Any decision, it doesn't have to be, completely going to the world, but anything decisions you make affects your immediate home. God says to them in Deuteronomy in 30, he says, choose, I set before you life and peace today. Blessing and cursing, choose life that you and your decision, your descendants may live. In other words, when we choose life, we choose the right thing, it's going to affect the people that love us the most among. So we need to make the right decisions. So here's something very quickly. When you make a decision, in life, you have to consider, first of all, you have to consider the Word of God. What does God's Word say about your decision? Find scriptures that the decision you're making is that in the Bible. And get back on track. The Word of God is given to us, as we were told in Bible school. The Word of God is given to us so that we may govern our lives. We direct our lives with the Word of God. Secondly, we should always check on the inside of us, our own spirit, where the Holy Spirit resides, to see if you get that peace, if you get that release on the inside of you. Check on your spirit, check your spirit, to see whether or not what it says on the inside of you. When if you're making the decision. So check God's Word, read your Word. Make sure you're going to read your Word every day. I was listening to Pat Harrison. I'm following her. I listened to her, Pat Harrison. And I listened to her Saturday morning. And she said, she came on live and she said about those decisions. Sometimes, you know, yeah, you might make a wrong decision, but check on the inside. I want to listen to her because I know Brother Hagin brought her up. I want to know what she says, if she's following Brother Higgins. If not, I'm going to talk to her. So she said, follow your spirit. Check your heart and see on the inside of you if there's something in there that tells you you're making a wrong decision. Like what I'm saying here is, oh, I understand that. Oh my. And then you go out and make a wrong decision because you didn't check your heart. Yeah, it sounds easy up here, right? But yeah, when you don't have black and white, that you say, I don't know what to do here. What am I supposed to do? That's when you're supposed to pray in tongues. Yeah. When you pray in tongues, the Bible says you pray in tongues, your spirit and the Holy Spirit together gets together and God prays that will. And all of a sudden you're going to sense inside you that there's a yay or a nay there. Pray in the spirit all the time to check if you're making the right decision. Like there's other things that can be more appealing to you. Like the lights, I'm going to the lights. Because, you know, your flesh wants to go and do something else. And the third thing is this. You've got to follow good counsel. There's people around you that'll check you. Have you noticed the decision in the Bible, in the book of Acts? It says that not only seemed good to the apostles, but it seemed good to everybody when they made decisions. Everybody got that witness. When somebody tells me I'm going to make a decision and I don't feel, that doesn't seem right. I ask someone else, does that seem right to you? They said, no, it don't seem right at all. So everybody gets that. Not only you will get if you're making the decision, if four or five of your friends that are really honest with you are saying, hey, there's something, you better check that. Then you better stop. Because you might be off track. Yeah, you might have get that one thing you wanted, but it's going to affect you. Israel got affected. They prayed about certain things that God said, no, you're not having that. I don't want you to have that. But they went ahead anyway. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house. Notice they build it anyway. But their labor was in vain. You know, we were was it two Sundays? I can't remember. Longer than that, we were watching Tony Cook, and we're talking about what is that lesson on? I think it was career. Is it career? No, work, like the work related decisions, and how that affects us, our work, and so, you know, it affects everybody, your decisions. You might get what you want in your flesh, but it's going to have effects on other areas of your life. And are you sure you want to deal with that later on? Praise God. I realize this was a great message tonight, and everybody's all happy. I mean, we're just drunk in the spirit now, and we're just happy to go home. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Sometimes you need instruction, and that's a little bit of instruction for you tonight. Lord, we want to thank you as we close this service. Blessing and is all around for us. We thank you that we're making the right decisions today. Thank you the right decision to follow Jesus, to follow his word, to follow his spirit, and to follow good leadership, good people around us, good friends that are following God. And so we're looking, we could never get lost if we're honest. And we check our witness, we check our decision with someone else that we trust. I said, does this seem right to you? What am I doing? Is that right? So thank you, Lord. We thank you as we make decisions as families. Thank you, Lord. Whether it's a financial decision, whether it's a career move, a relationship decision, some spiritual decisions, whatever it is. And Lord, we're putting a test to it to see whether it's in the faith or not, if God's word is yea or nay. So thank you, Lord, for all your promises are yes and amen. And so we turn our lives over to you today. We pray to consecration, dedication, prayer. Lord, may your will be done. May your will be done in this house, for this church and all the people. May your will be done in our city, the city of Thunder Bay. We bless our city. We bless our mayor and all the council members and those that are working on behalf of the city of Thunder Bay. We pray for all the members of parliament, the MPPs, and we thank you for them. We thank you for the decisions that are being made across the board for our nation, across regarding all the stuff that's happening. We ask the peace of God. We also pray for Israel. May the peace of God in Israel be done. May the will of God be done there. Thank you, Jesus. And we correct ourselves in those areas. We check ourselves in those areas. And our lives will get better and better and better. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.